We have a little presentation we want to make. Well, it's not a little presentation, it's a big presentation. Sue Hampton is our missions president. She's helping me. Every once in a while, we, the Mission Council, nominate someone, I guess the word, to give an award called the District Distinguished Service Award for someone who has served faithfully in the church. Money is donated in their name to the missions program of the Church of the Nazarene. And then we wish to honor that person. This person has no idea that we're doing this, but I'm asking Bertie Stout if you'll come up right now. Yes, give her a hand. I know this is the last thing she wants to do is to get up front in front of everybody. But Bertie, we just want you to know we love you. We appreciate you. Bertie is such a servant. She's one of these ladies that works behind the scenes, and a lot of times you don't see all that she does. She's just always working, always serving. She runs our church library. She helps with keeping the church kitchen all organized and all things and the teen center and everything. She's been involved with mission projects. She's gone on mission trips. She helps some of our shut-ins. I mean, I could go on and on and on the different things she does. She just serves with a great servant heart. Not to get attention, not to be up front, but you're up front. And we just want to say thank you to you. This is a Distinguished Service Award given to you by NAMPA Bethel Church of the Nazarene. Just as we take pleasure in presenting the certificate to Bertie Stout, with thankfulness for years of service to the Lord at Bethel Church of the Nazarene. I want to give you this, Bertie. And we have some flowers for you. Yes. And just a little card. But again, we want you to know that you are greatly loved, and we did let the family in on the secret. Yes. But we didn't let you in on the secret. But we just... want to honor you today. Thank you for all you do, and praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Bertie. I really should have had a camera aimed on her face when we announced that. It was precious. It was a good moment. Oh, boy. Missionary was serving as a medic in Africa. Periodically, he had to travel by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. It was a two-day trip, which means he always had to camp in the jungle overnight on the trip. Most of his trips were without incident, but one day when he arrived to the city, he found two men fighting. One was seriously injured, and so he began to help the guy and bind his wounds and share Christ with him, and he went on his way. The next time the missionary came to the city, the man that had treated him approached him and said, "I know you carry money and medicine. Some friends and I followed you into the jungle that night after you helped me, knowing you'd have to sleep in the jungle alone. We waited for you to go to sleep, planning to kill you and take your money and drugs. As we started to move into the campsite, we saw 26 armed guards surrounding you. There were only six of us, so we knew we couldn't possibly get nearer, and so we left." When the missionary heard that, he laughed. "That's impossible. I assure you, I was all alone in the campsite." But the young man pressed the point. "No, sir, I wasn't the only one who saw the guards. My friend saw them too, and we all counted them." Several months later, the missionary attended his home church in Michigan and told of his experience. A man in the congregation interrupted the man and stood up and said, with a firm voice, "We were with you in spirit that night." The missionary was perplexed. The man continued, "On that night, in Africa, it was morning here. I stopped by the church to get some materials for a ministry trip. But as I was putting my bags in the trunk, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. It was an extremely strong urge, so I got on the phone and gathered some other men to come to the church and pray for you." Then the man turned to the congregation. "Will those men who prayed for me that day stand up right now?" And one by one, they stood up, all 26 of them. I share that story with you to let you know there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. We're going to look at just a couple verses in Ephesians chapter 6, finishing up our series in the letter to the Ephesians. And the context of these words about prayer, Paul, right before this, has been talking about spiritual warfare, that we're involved in an invisible spiritual war. We have an enemy, the devil and the demons. They fight against us, and we're called to take our stand against the devil and his schemes. We've been given the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We've been given the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, that armor of God. But then Paul adds the next very important part that we're going to talk about today, prayer. Prayer. Stand as we read God's word. Just a couple verses today, but very important. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power there is in prayer. And we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts today through your word about this very important part of our lives as followers of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, in spiritual warfare, we're called to pray. Prayer is part of our spiritual warfare. It's part of what we can do to win the battle in this spiritual warfare that we're involved in. Prayer is the weapon that our enemy fears the most. He isn't super concerned if you memorize the whole Bible, but it really bothers him when you pray, because he knows there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. Prayer is an exercise of faith, and when we pray, we're exercising our faith in God. In prayer, we believe that God exists. We believe that God exists. Sounds pretty foundational, but it's pretty important, isn't it? When you pray, we're not just talking to the air. We're not just talking to ourselves. We're not talking to anybody else. We're talking to God. We believe he exists. It's important. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we believe when we pray that God is real, because he is. We're praying to our Lord God Almighty. Not only do we believe that he exists, but we believe that he hears us when we pray. Think about that for a moment. Isn't that amazing that the Lord God Almighty hears us when we pray? Little, tiny us, the huge, amazing God of the universe, he hears us when we pray. You know, I don't know how it works with you, but sometimes when my wife talks to me, I don't always listen well. Now, that's a confession. She talked to her, she'll confirm this. And so she'll tell me something later, and she said, well, I told you. And I said, no, you didn't. Yeah, I told you. And so sometimes I'm not always the greatest listener in the world. Sorry, sweetheart. With God, you can be assured he always hears us. He's never not listening. He's never not paying attention. He's never distracted. He's never too busy. He always listens when we pray. So we believe God exists, we believe he hears us, and we believe he will answer. He will answer our prayers. Now we know that when we pray, God doesn't always answer our prayers exactly as we pray it and as we want it to be done at that time. You know, sometimes the answer is no, right? Because he knows what's best for us. It isn't his will. Sometimes he's just going to say no. Sometimes he's going to say, wait, it's not the right timing. Sometimes he's going to change our prayers to get us to pray something else. Sometimes it's yes. So we need to pray, confident God will answer, and listen to see how he answers. God answers prayer. In spiritual warfare, we are pray in the Spirit. That's what Paul says. They're pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? That's the main thing I was thinking about as I prepared this message. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It's not talking about an emotional experience, although there's nothing wrong with emotions. That's not what it's. Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's capitalized. talking about praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. To pray in the Spirit means several things. First, it means to acknowledge God's presence. See, prayer in the Spirit is a spiritual experience. We become aware that we're not alone. God is with us. We're surrounded by the penetrating, transforming presence of the Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us by His Spirit. So when we pray in the Spirit, we're acknowledging we're in the presence of God. When we pray, the Spirit is present. The Spirit is helping us. The Spirit is guiding us. The Spirit is changing us. The Spirit is strengthening us. The Spirit is interceding for us. The Spirit is blessing us. Prayer is a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, spiritual conversation. We pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We pray in harmony with God's Word. This shouldn't surprise us, since the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired people to write the Word of God, right? That He would not lead us to pray anything that would go apart from His Word. We pray according to the truth of God's Word. God doesn't contradict Himself. There's an inseparable union between the Spirit, the Word, and prayer. The Spirit will help us to know and understand the Word of God so we can pray according to the Word of God. People who have been great prayers have been great students of the Word of God. Prayer and the Word go together. The Spirit helps us to pray in harmony with God's Word. To pray in the Spirit also means to desire for God's will to be done. Makes sense if we pray in the Spirit, well, we're praying for God's will to be done. We know that when we pray according to the will of God, it is answered. 1 John 5, 14 to 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. We pray in the Spirit, asking for God's will to be done. The Spirit helps us to understand what His will is so that we can pray and surrender for God's will to be done. Not our will to be done, but God's will to be done. To pray in the Spirit also means to want God to be glorified. Prayer in the Spirit has its highest goal, the glory of God. Now, when you pray, you're blessed when you pray, and other people are blessed, but that is a secondary result. The main result has to be for God to be glorified. For God to be glorified. Remember when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, that the Lord's Prayer, what was the first sentence? Hallowed be Your name. Hallowed be Your name. God to be glorified. That needs to be primary in our prayers. This requires a shift in our focus from focusing on pleasing ourselves to pleasing God, from making ourselves look good. We want God to look good. We want Him to be glorified. When we pray in the Spirit, we willingly and purposely place the glory of God as the supreme goal. To pray in the Spirit is to trust in the power of God as well. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying in the power of God, the almighty power of God. We admit our weakness. We admit we can't do it, Lord. But we pray in Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in His power. Now, the devil knows this. He knows it, and so that's why he would love for our prayer lives to be pathetic, apathetic, and weak, because he knows there's power when you pray. He doesn't want you to pray. You know, whenever there's a battle, and one country starts to fight another country in a battle these days in modern warfare, the first place they attack is the communication centers. Because they don't want the enemy to be able to communicate, to be able to fight back. And that's what the devil attacks on us, is this communication we have with God, because he knows there's power in it. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to trust God. So he attacks us and tries to get us to make prayer not very important, not a big deal, not an important part of our lives. Neil Anderson wrote a book called The Bondage Breaker about spiritual warfare. He says this, one of the most dramatic deliverances I've observed happened to a man who was a high priest in the upper echelons of Satanism. 6 months after he was set free, he gave his testimony in our church. Ask at the end, based on your experiences with the power of darkness, what is the Christian's first line of defense against them? He forcefully answered, prayer. And when you pray, mean it. Fervent prayer thwarts Satan's activity like nothing else. So we pray, trusting in the power of God. To pray, 1 Corinthians 16:11, look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. That's a good prayer right there. Look to the Lord and his strength. To pray in the Spirit is to depend on the Spirit's help. It's amazing that God doesn't, you know, he opens up this whole idea of prayer for us, but he doesn't leave us alone. Do you know that we have two intercessors? Remember Jesus Christ, the ascended, glorified Christ, went up, was ascended up to the right hand of God the Father, where he intercedes for us at the right hand of God. Jesus intercedes for us in heaven, and now we know we also have the Holy Spirit living in us, the Holy Spirit of God interceding for us within us. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's just amazing to me. We have God, Jesus, the Son of God, interceding for us in heaven. We have the Holy Spirit of God interceding for us here on earth inside of us because he lives in us, helping us. We're not on our own. We rely on the Spirit's help when we pray. In spiritual warfare, we are called to make prayer our lifestyle. Scripture says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So we are to be consistent in our prayers. We are to pray consistently. Paul says, pray on all occasions. On all occasions. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. So, it's not, I know you can't talk to God every minute of every day, right? But you can have an ongoing conversation. You know, like one author said that when we finish prayers, maybe instead of saying amen, we should say to be continued. You know, it's a conversation. We're going to keep praying. We need to pray continually. It's good to have specific times of prayer, but you can pray whenever you want. Pray throughout the day. Pray when you're driving your car. Keep your eyes open, but pray when, you know, you can pray with your eyes open. Pray. Just find times to pray. Pray, you know, have that conversation. You know, the line is always open. God is always available. It's like a phone line that's turned on and you're already connected. You can talk to him anytime. You need to have that kind of attitude. Pray continually. Pray consistently. We also are told to pray specifically. Paul says, pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. Give your requests to God. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Your requests to God. Now, the reason this is important to be specific, because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I do, that the Father may be glorified. So when you give a specific prayer request and you see it answered, God is glorified. If you give kind of a general prayer request, like bless the whole world, how do you know if that's going to be answered? You don't know. When you have a specific prayer request, you can see it answered, God is glorified. So it's important to be specific. God already knows what we need, but we still are supposed to give our specific request to him. We are also to pray intensely. Paul says, be alert. That literally means don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Be alert. Stay awake. Of course, we need to sleep, but spiritually, we need to stay awake. When Nehemiah was building the walls of Jerusalem, when he went back there, he watched and he prayed. Remember what Jesus told his disciples on the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified? He said, watch and pray. Stay awake and pray. And Peter fell asleep. It's exactly what the devil wants us to do, is to get us to fall asleep, to not stay awake spiritually. But we need to pray intensely because we have an enemy. There's a war going on. 1 Peter 5, Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. We don't need to fear the devil in any of his schemes, but we need to be aware of him, be alert, and pray and resist him. There's victory in the name of Jesus Christ. We can't be lulled to sleep thinking there's no problems. There's no battle. There is a battle going on. We must pray and keep alert. We also are to pray persistently. Always keep on praying, Paul says. That simply means don't quit. Don't quit. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 18, he told them a story. Oh, I lost that one. Where did that one go? There it is. To show them they should pray and not give up. Teaching them you need to not give up. You know, some people use an acronym, PUSH. You ever heard of that one? Pray until something happens. It's a good acronym. PUSH. Pray until something happens. We need to not give up. George Mueller, who was a great man of prayer, said the great fault of the children of God is that they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. If they desire anything of God's glory, they should pray until they get it. Pray. Don't give up. In spiritual warfare, we're called to intercede for others. Well, that was fun. Of course, we are to pray for all kinds of people, but we need to pray for our other followers of Christ. This is spiritual warfare. You know, I've never been in the armed forces of America, but I've heard from people who are, when you are in a unit together and you're in the war, doing battle together, there's quite the camaraderie that's built up. They become very close to each other and encourage each other and protect each other and help each other. And that's what it needs to be in the body of Christ. We're in a war together. We're bound together in Christ. We need to pray for each other as followers of Christ. Pray for each other. We need that. We're also to pray for our spiritual leaders. Paul says, pray for me. He wasn't afraid to ask for prayer. He knows that he needs prayer. And I, as your pastor, need prayer. I confess that. Shall I let you in on a deep, dark secret? Pastors are just really ordinary people. We really are. We're just called by God to do something that he's asked us to do. But we're ordinary people. We need prayer. Paul prays, asks them to pray for him. He doesn't say, keep me safe. He says, give me boldness. Help me to fearlessly proclaim the gospel. That's what he asks for. There's a man named S.D. Gordon that wrote a thing on prayer that I like. He says, the great people of the earth today are people who pray. I do not mean people who talk about prayer, not those who say they believe in prayer, not those who can explain about prayer, but those who take time and pray. They have not time. It must be taken from something else. This something else is important, very important and pressing, but still less important and less pressing than prayer. Prayer is more powerful than we know. Our enemy knows it. That's why he's fighting against us, to keep our prayer lives not very intense. So we must pray. So my question in closing today is, what are you going to do? Some of you, you know, forgive me, because I don't know you, all of you, in your prayer life. But for some of you, your prayer life is pathetic. Probably is. Just don't pray very much, not very important. And I think God is challenging you to realize it is important. You need to make the time, take the time to pray, to really pray and trust God. Pray with him, regularly pray. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results you've always got, right? For some of you, you need to change some things. And that means begin to pray. Pray like you've never prayed before. One practical application. We have a prayer night tonight, 6 o'clock at our church. We just invite people to come and pray. We don't do anything in there except just pray. We pray through the prayer list that's turned in on Sunday morning. We just pray. And I'll just tell you, our numbers that are coming to that are decreasing quite rapidly. Not very many people come out to that. We've had quite a few what I would call prayer warriors die and go to heaven. And I'm thankful, you know, that they go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But we need to replace those prayer warriors with more prayer warriors. And you don't have to be old to be a prayer warrior. You just need to be someone who prays. So I'm challenging you who are here, especially younger people, but anybody can come. We need some new people to come and become prayer warriors and pray and call on the name of the Lord. So the great things would happen. The devil would be defeated in our lives and great things will go on. So there's a practical challenge for you. And I think God will bless us if we'll be faithful to him and call on his name. We are going to close with a time of prayer right now and sing a song together in worship and gather for a time of prayer. If you need to come pray about anything today, you're welcome to come. This altar is a place of prayer where you can pray and call on the name of the Lord. And we're so thankful that God invites us to do this, that we can pray. And that there is power in the name of Jesus. Let's stand together and sing this song together. And if you want to come pray, please come and we'll pray together this morning.